before you're seated, look at somebody and say, your past. Say, your past does not dictate your future. Turn around and point your finger at them and say, your past does not dictate your future. Clap your hands unto the Lord and you may be seated. It was a strange day. A day that would alter the lives of so many. Matter of fact, it would literally just about wipe out an entire generation. Something just felt off. Anyone ever have a feeling like that when you get up in the morning and something just doesn't feel right? Something feels a little off? Anybody know what I'm talking about? See, I can hear the sounds of the multitude in the background. You can see the hustle and the bustle. The busyness of the day had already begun. Mothers, they were getting the breakfast ready. Some of the fathers were already out the tent and into the fields. And oh, lest we forget those beautiful children that were gathering now at the corner tent, preparing themselves for the day. Yet, they figured that if someone brought a ball, they'd play a quick game of soccer. Others were shooting marbles. Some of them, little ones, were still wandering around in their cloth diapers. The fire was hot with the cauldron of full of what's for lunch type of meal that would cook all day and marinate all day long in its own juices. It was like any other day after Egypt. They were now on the other side of slavery, free from the wicked taskmasters and Pharaoh himself. Let's not forget that this group of some state well over a million plus people had witnessed the power of God and the deliverance from the bloodthirsty group of Egyptians. Let's not forget that this group of Israelites, as they were going to be called, were the ones who crossed over on dry ground, led by a pillar of fire and a cloud. We cannot forget that this is the group who had witnessed heavenly provisions and miracles from God Almighty. This is the people of God. Are you thankful today that you have witnessed the provision of God, the miracles of God, the hand of God on your life? Somebody shout hallelujah. You see, they ate from the manna from heaven, consumed quail, and drank from the waters that once was bitter. They all had seen the handiwork and they experienced Him, God Almighty, in His own way and in their own ways. But as time goes on, you get enough people around, crazy always comes out. You can't lock crazy up. You can't store it away. You can't will it away. When enough people gather together, crazy always comes out. Look at somebody and say, that's the truth. Some of you are thinking about this coming Memorial Day picnic and how you're going to have to sit across the picnic table from crazy. Somebody say, man. I'm telling you, take it to the bank. The moment that humanity gathers together, you rest assured, just when you thought you've seen it all, something new takes place, and you thought, I'd never seen it like that. Or, oh, do you remember when so-and-so did this, and they totally outdid themselves this year? Korah, he belonged to the right tribe, but oh, did he have his problems. Everybody say Korah. This man and his groupies knew how to throw a wrench into all of what God was doing. Let's not forget who Korah was. He and his family were in charge of some pretty important things. They were doorkeepers of the temple, the tabernacle. They took care of the things that were set apart or consecrated by God Almighty for God's purpose and worship unto the one true living God. They guarded the entryway of the tabernacle. They rubbed shoulders daily with the priesthood. They witnessed judgments and the such at the gates of the tabernacle. They had tabernacle duty, making sure that the unleavened bread was right. Korah was a Levite, a cousin of Moses, and a man of ability and great influence. They really had it made. But as human nature goes, they were not satisfied. So as unsatisfied people do, they get restless and they overstep into areas that really shouldn't be touched. Korah, the grandson of Kohath. And as a Kohathite, Korah was one of those responsible for transporting the items within the tabernacle, which, as we mentioned earlier, this included none other than the Ark of the Covenant. Numbers chapter 3, 27 to 32. This Ark of the Covenant, it was the place where God would come down and meet with man. This was his throne of that time, his judgment seat of sorts. Yet judgment was met with mercy, and Korah's family carried this on their shoulders as the people of God would travel from one destination to the next. Everybody say, Korah. But for some reason, Korah wasn't satisfied with his assigned service. He wanted to be a priest who would go beyond the veil, wear the priestly garments, and feel the weight of the responsibility of the people on his shoulders. Jealousy and resentfulness of himself and of others. He questioned now, Scripture talks about it, the claim of Aaron and his sons to be God's only ordained mediators for the people. Korah argued that the entire community had an equal right to the priesthood. His power play not only challenged Moses and Aaron, but God Almighty himself in affronting the Lord's divine authority to anoint whoever he chooses. I told you already, you get humanity together long enough, they'll nitpick a great situation down to the value of nothing. Has anybody ever noticed that sometimes when you get around a bunch of people and they start being critical and all of a sudden something great is all of a sudden now nothing more than an anthill? They just nitpick it. They just tear it down. Well, if I would do this, or if I was in that place, or if I was in that position, I'd say this, or if it were me, I'd do that. And see, Korah is this man. They took it upon themselves to gather quite the group. Korah had gotten a following according to Scripture. And the truth, and it's so true, lies and discord seem to pass along faster than the truth. Nobody wants the truth, but everybody wants the scoop. Amen? And this band of men, Korah, Dathan, and Abram, they had become bitter about their duties and bitter about those that they were surrounded by. And at dinner, they would gather together and talk about what they didn't agree with, and yet they all agreed to conspire against the appointed and the anointed of God. At dinner, the heads of the home would gather around the table, drinking from goblets they didn't make, eating off of tables they had gotten in a plundering, and discuss all of what was wrong in their minds about Aaron and Moses, justifying the means of their disagreements with the others. One would speak up as others carefully and intently listened in. One would say, I really don't agree with what Moses has been doing lately. I mean, why did we follow him out here anyways? And the nods of the heads of those around that dinner table would signal an agreement. Did you see how Moses and Aaron walked out of their tents today? Has anybody been around a critic long enough to see that they criticize everything? They'll criticize the way your shoes are tied. Amen. I mean, they'll get talking about various things, and I mean, they'll just be critical of every single. It doesn't matter if you're doing everything right. They'll find something wrong. Somebody say amen. The wives, now, they're in another room. So you got the men in one room eating and talking and doing what men do. And then on the other side of the tent in this house area, you have the ladies, and there they are having a similar discussion. And it goes like this: can you believe what Aaron's wife said to me when she walked by? She didn't even shake my hand. Wouldn't that be something? And then the other says, oh, I can't believe. I know they didn't get text messages back then, but just imagine what a text message would have been like if these people were texting each other about what they didn't agree with the leadership about. Well, they didn't do this, and they type it in capital letters, you know, to make you know that they're yelling with their disdain. Amen. Somebody say amen. They're like, well, they didn't shake my hand. And, you know, you're supposed to understand that when you walk out of your tent, when you walk out of your home, your glass house, you're supposed to shake everybody's hands, kiss babies and shake hands. Come on, somebody say amen. Then that other one, she's just as upset. She says, I'm shocked at what Zipporah did in front of Moses' wife. Did you see how their kids were acting? They were acting all up. They were acting the fool. No one remembered what was going on or why this person said that. They just simply felt like, well, I'm going to agree because I have no idea what you're saying. I've done that before. People are saying things and I have no idea what they're saying, and I'm just shaking my head like, yeah, that's okay. Yeah, I agree. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And then I ended up having to write them a check for like $1,000. No, I'm teasing, but you get the idea. You see, this caused the room to bustle with short bursts of breath and sighs, and another one lifted her voice up against the leadership. So in one room, we've got the men who want to make some changes, and they want to form this coup of sorts, and the ladies in the other room, they're offering their disdain as well as to why or what the people of God were not doing according to their thoughts. Let me pause here and say this. You cannot conspire against God's plan and get away with it. God always, He always has the final say. Psalms 1:1-2, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but their delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. You want to keep your heart right, you get your mind on the Lord and all that God has done for you. Clap your hands and shout hallelujah. So now this house is charged with anger, charged with jealousies and bitterness. It's so thick you could almost feel the static charge in the room. And yet, while all of that is happening in the house or in the tent, back in the backyard, there's some children. They're innocent. They're oblivious to the said meeting that's going on in the house. They have no idea as to why their parents are conspiring or even complaining. They have no idea as to what's going on. They're just out playing soccer, shooting marbles. The girls are over in the yard giggling at the boys, and they're just talking. And you know, boys being boys, they got sticks, and they're sword fighting and nunchucking trees. And the girls are talking about the boys that looking goofy doing that kind of stuff. You know how girls and boys act. Come on, somebody say amen. The girls are saying, can you believe he's doing that? And the boys are like, hi-ya, hi-ya. It's all going on in the backyard. It's all happening in the backyard, but in the front, it's a room full of jealousy, bitterness, and ego. This statement could be more true than it is today. You can choose your friends, but you can't choose, your family. These kids were born into this. These kids didn't ask for their parental units. They didn't. These kids were simply there because that is where they were born into. I'm going to say that again. You can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. And we all have one of those family members that we seem to always think, oh, They got the crazy eye. They got the crazy look. Look at them. They're going to do something crazy. But here, kids are in the back. Mom and dad are in the front. Kids are minding their own business, doing what kids do. And mom and dad has this group around their table, and the room begins to get louder as time progresses and testosterone is high. The room full of women, the room full of women sounds like a hen house. I'm going to pause on that one because now you're getting in your mind what it really sounds like. And the kids, they're outside, away from the home. They can't hear what's going on inside. And there Korah is. He finally says it loud enough for all to hear. Arms are flailing like he's fighting a mosquito. Spittle now drips into his beard and his face becomes red. And he yells this. He says, "Tomorrow, we're going to Moses and we're going to confront him on this. Tomorrow, this madness ends. Tomorrow, we have every right to offer up the sacrifices, every right to be doing the daily duties of the tabernacle. After all, we're all part of the same family, the same group." And with that, the crowd agrees. And have now, they all have left in agreement that against God's holy plan and what God had ordained. So now they have dispersed into their own homes. The kids have reluctantly left their friends and their cousins behind, and now they're trooping across the sand to their tents. And there now, if you could imagine with me the scene now unfolding, that Korah and his wife are alone in the tent. Now in the kitchen, she washes and he dries. She's been feeling the same way about how God was doing things. She even said, "Korah, you're right. We have every right to be doing more and getting more recognition." Dathan's wife, she said the same exact thing. When we were talking, when I heard you guys out there in the front, I heard you talking about what your thoughts were. But Dathan's wife, she said the exact same thing. She said we all should have greater responsibility because aren't we of the same tribe? Aren't we of the same family? Korah, you're the first cousin of Moses and Aaron. We have rights. Somebody say amen. Remember that in biblical times that you were identified by your father's name. His name carried weight. His character was reflected through the name. And that's why Jacob, after an encounter at Peniel, was touched and walked with a limp. His name was changed to Israel because he was going to have power with God. Abram and Sarai had name changed to Abraham and Sarah. Abraham, the father of many. You see, the group that Korah led came to Moses and said this in Numbers chapter 16 and 3. "You've gone too far. The whole community is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is with them. Why then do you set yourselves above the Lord's assembly?" And when Moses heard that Korah's opposition, he fell face down, the Bible says. And in the morning, the Lord, this is what was said, Moses said to him, "In the morning the Lord will show who belongs to him and who is holy, and he'll have that person come near." So now, Moses challenged Korah to a test, calling him and his followers to the sanctuary, and the next morning were to offer incense before the Lord. Verse 7, "The man the Lord chooses will be the one who is holy. You Levites have gone too far." It was an absolute and open display of rebellion and bitterness. At the time, Moses reprimanded Korah in front of everyone. reprimanded for his ingratitude and his grasping for power, yet it was as if he was pleading with Korah and his cronies that they have mishandled the mercies of God. So he's trying to talk them down from this attitude. I mean, Korah, he was upset. He said, I have every right to be doing this. I have every right. We, as the cousins of Moses and Aaron, we have every right to be doing what you're doing. And he reminded Korah, Moses is now trying to talk Korah down from this attitude, that his rebellion was not against Moses and Aaron, but rather, according to verse 11, it is against the Lord that you and all your fathers have banded together. And the showdown begins. But before we get too far, say it, your past does not dictate your future. Turn around and look at somebody like you mean it and say, your past doesn't dictate your future. But the showdown begins. Moses and Aaron are in the door of the tabernacle, and there stands Korah with a following of 250 respected men of the community, all gathering against Moses and Aaron to protest God's way of doing things. You can read that in Numbers chapter 16. Some of the guilty party remained in their tents, yet standing up with Korah, all because of a root of bitterness, all because of jealousy, all because of, wait for it, self-government and sin. You see, a self-governing attitude is this. It's my way or no way. I want it now and you can't tell me what to do. It's that I'll take my toys and go somewhere else, the type of mentality. This type of sin has a way of blinding a person. This sin has a pleasure for a moment, but it does demand payment upon receipt. That's the issue with Korah and his cohorts. They weren't satisfied with the blessings of God and the calling of God on their own lives, so they wanted to seek out ways to demand the attention of the room. Numbers chapter 16, verses 1 through 3. Getting on, this is from one translation, getting on his high horse one day, Korah, son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, along with a few Reubenites, Dathan and Abiram, son of Eliab, and on, son of Peleth, rebelled against Moses, he and with his 250 leaders of the congregation of Israel, prominent men with position in the council, they came as a group and confronted Moses and Aaron, saying, you've overstepped yourselves. This entire community is holy and God is in their midst. So why do you act like you're running the entire show? See, this attitude that Korah had, this attitude against God began in the back room somewhere, spoken first in their minds, whispered under their breath. They started half-heartedly doing their duties and going through motions mixed with a bad emotion. It started small and it turned into criticism and disdain, and then now this open rebellion against God and his ways. Can you imagine a man who carried the Ark of the Covenant? He was all upset because he didn't get to do what Moses and Aaron was able to do. Isn't that crazy? I mean, when people are bitter, you can't tell them of the blessing that God has done for them. When a person gets bitter and jealousy in their heart, there's not much you can do. When they got something on their mind, they're just going to take it to the bank. They'll be mad at you and mad at the world for even attempting to tell them, hey, you need to check yourself before you wreck yourself. Somebody say amen. I had one person get mad at me one day because they got upset because I said we should pray more. I thought, that's pretty funny. I tell you, you should pray. I tell the body we should pray more, and they got mad. So then I looked at the person. I said, well, then you should probably pray more. That really honked him off. But here's Korah and his 250. And then there's Dathan with his group made up of another man and his family and Abram, and who again, they were all disgusted of how God set things up. They wouldn't even show their face to Moses and Aaron. They simply talked about them behind their backs. Read it in Scripture. All of this was going on, and the people were called out and rescued from the bondage of Egypt. And we aren't any better at times, are we? Somebody say amen. God has brought us out and delivered us from sin and bondage, and yet there are times that we begin to bellyache about how God has set things up. Hear me again. I said it earlier. You better check yourself before you wreck yourself. Say that to somebody right now. You better check yourself. So now, here is Moses and Aaron. Here is Korah and his cronies. Some of them wouldn't even come and face Moses or Aaron. They just talked from their tents. And here Moses is beginning to tell them in Numbers chapter 16, 31 to 35. He said, if the earth were to open its mouth and swallow you up, that will be a sign. That will be a sign that you're in the wrong and God is on my side. You can read it. All of a sudden, the earth opened its mouth and in one gulp swallowed them down, the men, their families, all of the human beings connected with Korah, along with everything they owned, and that was the end of them, pitched alive into Sheol. The earth closed up over them, and that was the last the community heard of Korah and them. Their cries were heard. And then God sent lightning. The fire cremated the 250 men who were offering the incense. You see, all because of a bad attitude. All because of wanting power. All because of wanting the applause. All because of wanting the attention. And unfortunately, bad attitudes are contagious. So let me say this. Be careful who you run around with, because their bad attitude is easy to catch. It's easy to hear the voice of discord when it's woven in with just a little bit of truth. So now they're all pleading with God. And then there are those that still were on the side of Korah. And so they begin to say this. They begin to talk against Moses. They had just watched Korah and this group get swallowed up in an earthquake of sorts. They just watched lightning from heaven just incinerate these 250 men that were trying to get away. And then there were still some that were shouting, Moses, you really have no idea what you're doing. There were still those that were shouting, Aaron, you have no right. You shouldn't be doing what you're doing. And so then Moses and Aaron, they have to deal with that. And 14,700 people died from a plague that was fallen on the remaining ones. So in a matter of moments, hear me today, in a matter of moments, almost over 15,000 people died because of sin. God judges sin. God judges our character. God judges our motives. But then I started noticing something in Scripture. A name kept popping up in random places in the Word of God. A name that I thought had, at that moment, was blotted completely out, and out of the community, out of the group of the people of God. And I thought personally that this group was completely eliminated. Everybody say Korah. I thought this guy in that moment, that would be the last we'd hear of him. And that would be the last that he'd ever, ever, ever have his name echoed down the corridors of time. I thought his whole group was swallowed up. And later in Scripture, we find that God ordered another census to be taken of the people in Numbers chapter 26. Reading Numbers chapter 26, 9 through 11, the Bible says, and the sons of Eliab, Nemuel, and Dathan, and Abiram. This is that Dathan and Abiram, which were famous in the congregation, who strove against Moses and against Aaron in the company of Korah when they strove against the Lord. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up together with Korah. And when that company died, what time the fire devoured 250 men, they became a sign. In verse 11, I like what verse 11 says, notwithstanding the children of Korah died not. Let's read that out loud together. Notwithstanding, the children of Korah died not. One more time, would you read that again? I like that word, notwithstanding. It's really not a word that we use today, but it simply means this: in spite of the facts. My message today is simply this: you do not have to be identified by your past. Your past does not dictate your future. Just because others messed up doesn't mean you have to live in a messed up state that God has a purpose for. In spite of that, God has a plan. So in spite of the fact that you and I were born into sin and shaped in iniquity, in spite of the fact that just because you once was part of something wrong doesn't mean that God is unable to use you today, notwithstanding, the children of Korah died not. You see, there was a generation that was kept and even restored. We find the sons were spared in spite of the sin of the family. That's exciting to me, because that means that no matter what my mom and daddy did, that doesn't mean that's what I'm going to do. Just because someone said that about me doesn't mean that that's who I am today. Your past does not dictate your future. Would you clap your hands and shout hallelujah? You see, study history. 7 generations after Korah died, the prophet Samuel arose. Guess where he's from? Guess where? 7 generations after the death of Korah, guess where a man named Samuel comes from? Well, according to 1 Chronicles 6, 31 and 38, and 1 Samuel 1 and 1 and verse 20, he's from the line of those of Korah. The Korahites later became doorkeepers and the custodians for the tabernacle. You'll find that in 1 Chronicles 9, 19 to 21 and 1 Chronicles chapter 2. One group of Korahites, 1 Chronicles 12 and 6, joined King David in various military exploits and won the reputation of being an expert in warriors. And during the time of King David, the sons of Korah became the leaders in the chorale and the orchestrated music in the tabernacle. Hear me clearly today. You may have been identified by your past, but in the eyes of God, not any longer. Your past does not dictate your future. That God has a plan. That God has a purpose. He knows where you are today. But too often today, we are identified or even linked to the old ways and into the familial DNA. Inside my DNA, believe it or not, anybody ever hear of Jesse James? Huh? They did a history test or genealogy, and they found out that the Clutter family, I don't know what side. I told you my dad is from West Virginia, the hills of West Virginia, but Jesse James, the famous bank robber. You know, my uncle, my dad's brother decided he was going to live that out. My uncle spent time in a penitentiary because of being a Jesse James. Strong arm robbery. Robbing the carryouts with a gun, and packing heat and knocking people over the head. That's in my DNA. You better be careful. You don't know what you're messing with. What'd you say, Sister Emily, about your dad? He's the king's son. Because look at our jackets. Look at Brother William's jacket. Look at that. Look at my jacket. His daughter said he's king size, I'm the fun size. Yeah. King size. You don't know what you're messing with right here. I'm the fun size. Dynamite comes in small packages. But you see, in each and every one of us, there's something that we do not want to be identified with. I don't know what it is in your life that you don't want to be identified with, but hear me clearly today. If you let God in your life, if you put God first in your life, God Almighty is going to raise up a generation that will worship Him. God's going to raise up a generation of worshipers. God's going to raise up a generation of a people that says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." Shout hallelujah. And too often, though, we have to live down the reputation of others. Well, your name is such and such, and I know your daddy, and I know what he was, and I know what your mama did, and you're sitting there saying, yeah, but I'm nothing like them. And you're saying you could choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. Yeah. And you're thinking, man, I hate the fact that I might look like my daddy or my mama. I hate the fact that Jesse James is in my family. Not really, because it's kind of cool when I talk about it now, but back then I wouldn't be real happy. But can you imagine they're always having to live down Korah's sons? They're having to live down the reputation of their father, their grandfather, their uncles. And here they're hearing all their life, oh, you're one of Korah's kids. And I thought all along that, you know, maybe they were all wiped out. But I was shocked when I started studying the scripture that for whatever reason, and I think I know why, because it's an Old Testament peek into a New Testament thing called grace and mercy. And I don't know about you, but yes, we were all sinners saved by the grace and the mercy of God. You're not who you used to be. You're not doing what you used to do. Your past does not dictate your future. And so there were those critics that said, well, they ought not to be worshiping the Lord. They shouldn't be doing that. Look at them. Do you know who's their mama and dad? Do you know who their grandparents were? Their reputation precedes them before they even walk in the room. They walk in and they say, can you tell me who your daddy is? And they say, well, my granddaddy was Korah. And they're, I know Korah. He's that clown that wouldn't bow down and worship God. And so now the ground swallows him up. Oh, I know Korah. And them little kids, they have nothing to do with the sin of the father. They have nothing to do with the attitude of the father. You see, because here's why. Your past does not dictate your future. They knew who their family was. You stay clear. They're telling the kids. They're telling the neighbor kids. Don't you mess with them because they're meaner than a snake. They're meaner than a junkyard dog. I'm telling you what. I know who their daddy was. Their daddy was talking about people before you were even born. If you knew their background, they'll never preach. They'll never sing. They'll never serve. They'll never be a worshiper. It's as if the Apostle Paul looked through the scrolls and remembered the life of Korah and his crew. But he got held up on that verse 11. We said it earlier, we ought to commit it to memory. Notwithstanding, the children of Korah died not. In spite of what Korah did, the baby still lived. There was still a chance for a generation to be worshipers. So Paul writes, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 11, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, or adulterers, effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, or covetous, or drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you've been washed, but you've been sanctified, but you've been justified by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you thankful today that you're not that way anymore? So if people came in and said, hey, how can you get up and sing about the goodness of God and the mercy of God when I know where you came from? Let's all stand. And they're saying, Paul's saying it like this. These are the ones that cannot enter into the kingdom of God. But take great hope. Every last one of us. This is what Paul's saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 11. Every last one of us are one of those things. But I'm thankful that our past does not dictate our future. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So on the seventh day of May, 2023, I want to say this. In spite of who you once was, or where you came from, God can still use you. Your past doesn't dictate your future. In spite of what happened in your past, I love that scripture. It's a short enough one that I can remember it. Notwithstanding, the children of Korah died not. In spite of your shortcomings, how many's got some shortcomings in your life? How many has had some issues in your life? Be honest, raise your hand, lie, you fry, you're in the house of God. In spite of where you came from, in spite of your DNA, some of you ought to be thankful for this. Notwithstanding, the children of Korah died not. So what are some of these psalms? What are some of these words that sons of Korah put to music? Well, it goes like this, Psalms 42 and 1. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. It was Korah's family. It was his offspring that said, as a deer panteth at the water brooks, so my soul desires you, O God. Here's what Korah's offspring had to say. Psalms 42 and 8. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. Psalms 45 and 6. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Look, the sons of Korah, the guy that rebelled against the power of God, the guy that said, I'm going to do it my way and you're in the wrong, the guy that rose up against God Almighty, he was judged, but notwithstanding, the sons of Korah died not. It was these ones that wrote this. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed. Why can they say that? They understand what generation of before them had happened to them. They said, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst, though the waters therefore thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. They're the ones that wrote this. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. They're the ones that wrote that. It was the sons of Korah. It was the sons of... Look at somebody and say, can you believe it? And act like you're shocked. Come on, go ahead. Go. Look at somebody like, oh my goodness, can you believe it? Can you? See, I got my glass so I can't see you. But it was the sons of Korah, Brother John. Can you believe it? Yeah, the grace. They write this. Great is the Lord, Psalms 48:1. And greatly be praised in the city of our God and the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth in Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. They're the the ones that wrote Psalms 84, verse 2, "My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God." These guys are the ones. They wrote this. "Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will still be praising you. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you and whose heart are the ways of them." It was Korah. It was his kids that write. Psalms 84:10. "For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand elsewhere."
Yes.
"I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked."
Right.
"For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." You see, they could have easily gave in to the reputation that they were given by their father, their grandfathers before them. But they're like, "I didn't have anything to do with that. You can't judge me on that. My past does not dictate my future." I think today in this very room, there are some that could say, "You know what? I'm not what I used to be. I've been set free." I think in this very room, even right now, there are some that said, "That's what my daddy was, but that's not who I am. That's what my mama said, but that's not who I am. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continue." That's what, hey, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God. If you can identify as maybe one of Korah's kids, would you step up from where you are? If you can identify. Because that's not necessarily a bad thing, because the Bible says that notwithstanding, the children of Korah died not. You can identify, maybe you had a past, but now you're serving the Lord. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. And his mercies. Folks, I'm telling us today, your past does not dictate your future. Would you lift your hands as they begin to sing? Why don't you, in your own way, in your own way.
Turn me around.
Come on, in your own way.
You place my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master.
Come on,
I thank the Savior. Because he healed my heart, he changed my name. Forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior. Forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior.